So we're continuing trying to figure out how to fulfill this really hard mitzvah. This mitzvah of loving every single Jew, even the ones you know. In Hayom Yom it says that it's a mitzvah to love every Yid, even the Yid you never met. And people like to say that to them, it's even more challenging to meet the Yid than they do meet, and they do know. Anyway, the point is that Avas Yisrael is supposed to extend L'chol Nefesh Mi'Yisrael Mi'Godel Va'ad Katan. Be they great or small, impressive or not. And how are we doing this? Because, as we discussed already, gufa inimas umesuya vetzli. Because the bodily reality is going to become abhorrent to you. It's not what it's about. And because you transcend the bodily reality, so now you're in a higher space. And in this higher space, all of a sudden, the things that were important before are no longer important now. And the things that divided us before no longer divide us now. So now we can be in a state of unity. So just to elaborate on this a little bit. Invariably in life, a lot of things that are relative. So when a person is involved in a certain detail in life, whatever it is, then that becomes overridingly important. For some people, the shape of their nose is the most important thing in the world. If they don't have the right nose, they'll get a nose job. Right? They'll spend enormous amounts of money on reshaping their nose because your nose knows. And you don't like people without the right nose, and you want to be liked, and you think they're not going to like you if you don't have the right nose. So it's all about noses, right? Like that's the beginning, the middle, and the end. And then sometimes in life things happen, and you say, you know what? I really don't care what somebody's nose looks like. Like they have a really nice nose, but they're horrible people. And this person has a bigger nose, but they're really nice. So all of a sudden you come to a point where the nose is not the single qualifying factor. And I'm saying nose, you know, broadly. Apply it to any body part you want. The point is when the bodily reality becomes what's important, that becomes the focus. So when that's missing, there's nothing to talk about. And if that's in place, that's what it's all about. Everything rises and falls on that. So if you get past your nose, and the nose is not so important anymore, so then, hey, you know, like we can start to care about people even if they don't have a certain nose. I've often reflected on the notion that in the Israeli army, which is primarily a reservist army, I mean, there are young men and women who are serving, but it's mostly people, mature people, who go on to have careers in businesses. And you could have in the same group, you could have a commander who's actually a schlepper, maybe not making a lot of money, and you could have people that he commands that are in their civilian life achieving enormous success. Be they doctors, lawyers, industrialists, inventors, and in civilian society, like those things make the difference. But here it doesn't make a difference anymore. And there's a certain shivyon, there's a certain equality. We're all in this together. We're facing very unfriendly fire. Nobody knows who's going to come out of this alive, especially when it's an actual combat situation. And all the things that were so important a day or a week earlier, none of that's relevant anymore. Now what's important is that we have to act in concert and in unison and protect each other and come home alive. So all of a sudden the things that were so important just evaporated. Now, truth be told, when the circumstances change, then the level of importance also changes. And it kind of goes back to what it was before. Because when people are in a certain circumstance, they could be temporarily elevated. They could be temporarily transported. Now they're in a different headspace. Now they're in a different heart space. Now they're in a situation where different things matter. And when we come to a circumstance where life matters, we're worried about life and death, so the things that were so important in life just a little while earlier no longer are important. They dissipate, they fade away. And that's just a metaphor for all that I was talking about. Because if life is about materiality and material success, material well-being, material fame and fortune, material beauty or handsomeness, that's what life's about. So that's what will attract you to another. That's what the currency of life is. But if you reach a point where that's not the currency of life, if you reach a point by following it, Alter Rebbe says in chapters 29, 30, and 31, where now I'm thinking about life differently, and now different things are important to me, so then the things that got in the way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Avas Yisrael, I should love that person? Are you kidding? They're annoying, they're frustrating, they're a loser. You can go on the whole long list of why you don't want to love that person. But now that we're in this new state, now that we're in this newfound reality where the guf is mesuah vetzli, so in that case, then that doesn't matter anymore. And once that doesn't matter, once I left that behind, so then I move into a new space. What's the new space? This is the space of spirituality. Now here goes the interesting thing. When it comes to the material, we're able to see, we're able to know. This is part of the realm which is in everyday life. But when we talk about the spirit, we're actually now in unknown territory. We don't know. One could argue that the concept of bodily reality that Alter Rebbe talks about really refers to the superficial reality, the apparent reality. So once you get past the apparent, and you're looking now at the deeper and more profound, so as the Alter Rebbe, v'hanefesh v'haruach, and the soul and the spirit, mi'edeya gdulason u'malason b'sharshin b'likim chayim. So you're looking for somebody who is famous, important, powerful, impressive, and you say, I can't love that person. That person is none of the above. That person is not going to be good for my status symbol. It's not going to look good on my resume that I'm friends with that person. That person has nothing to offer me. That person has nothing that makes me feel good. So we say, one second. But if life's not about all the things we thought they were about, and now we've come to the realization that life's about the spirit, and when it comes to the spirit, who knows who is important and who's not? Who knows who has a more special neshama and who doesn't? So in that case, so all of a sudden, everything, the entire ma'aracha, so to speak, the whole order of things has now shifted. Now, it's interesting that the Alter Rebbe speaks about this on three levels. The first thing he talks about is the nefesh and the ruach, and he says, who knows their level? Mi'edeh gdolas tamalasim. Then he adds, and he says, bishagam shekulam asimes, especially because everybody's equal. And then he says, ve'av echad l'kulanu, and we have one common parent. So these seem to be three different things. In fact, they seem on some level to be contradictory. The soul and the spirit, who knows its value? Who knows its greatness? So that we're not the same. There could be a person who seems superficially as very ordinary, very mundane, very pedestrian, but in fact, they're anything but that. So that's with regard to the spiritual virtue or vice, the level, the different levels. And then in the next, very next thing he says, the same sentence, he says, "Bishagam shekulam asimis." But anyway, everybody's the same. He just said that there's miyadei gdolas namalasan. He just spoke about virtues. He spoke about who's greater, who's smaller. And now you're saying everybody's the same? And then he says, ve'av echad l'kulanu. And in truth, we're all one. So really to understand this, you have to realize that we live complicated lives on many different levels. There's a level of things the way they are in their source, the way things are on some lofty theoretical plane, and then there's the way things get translated here in real time. And oftentimes they're not one and the same. It doesn't mean one can't affect the other. One can't influence the other. Being aware of a deeper truth can and should influence the way you live in an ordinary way, but as things develop in an ordinary way, the variables start to change. A simple metaphor, which is kind of a parallel. So at the time when a baby is conceived, it's you have an enormously complex single organism. It's like at that moment, they say there's a flash when a child is conceived. It has really everything. There's no DNA. We don't get like extra downloads at a certain point. Third trimester, now a download. You know, hair color, height, body mass. Another 2 weeks, now we're going to download brains and mental activity. Another 2 weeks, now we're going to download new DNA, which will govern the personality, you know, morose, pessimistic, optimistic, joyous, and so on and so forth. These are all genetic things, little genetic markers that make us who we are. Of course, those genetics can come from the same parents and can be people raised in the same home, and they could be literally a year apart. They can be two totally different people because the genetic mix each time, it's like, you know, you spin the wheel. You don't know exactly how it's going to work out each time. And it's impossible to choreograph. So you can't say it's nurture, because you have people who are getting the exact same nurturing, just about, and they're worlds apart. They're not slightly different. They're worlds apart. It's not, well, that was the first child, this is the second child. And then there's the third, say, so he's the middle child. The differences are so acute, they're so profound, that clearly the genetic mix lands in a different way. Right? You put the same genetics in, put the ingredients in, it's not like baking a cake. It's not predictable. Having said that, it's clear that all of these genetic markers have to be there at the first moment. Furthermore, not only the genetic markers are there, but the makeup, the chemical composition of different organs of the body all have to be already in that first moment. Because whether it's being prone to a certain illness, chas v'shalom, or having a certain weakness, or having strength in a certain area. All these things are later going to come out. But at a certain point, everything is the same. This is what they call in science stem cells. Which stem cells say you can't take brain matter and implant it in the liver and expect it to regenerate the liver. That doesn't work that way. But liver material is malleable insofar as liver is concerned. And lungs are malleable insofar as lungs are concerned. The cellular structure of different parts of the body is very different. One is very different from the other. The heart muscle is very different from the brain muscle, even though really both is a muscle. But at some point, before it went through the period of gestation, at some point all of this was the same. All of the different organs were the same. All the different organs had all the same markers. And in theory, the matter that was there very early on could evolve into anything. And in fact, it does. Some of it evolves one way, some of it evolves the other way. Now you have a person, and the person is complete and comes out to Mazel Tov, and there's a baby, and you have hands, and you have feet, you have toenails, you have hair, you have a nose, you have ears, you have all, you have intestines, organs, tiny little organs that are working with unbelievable miracle. So they're all different. They're all different. And you come along and say, see this little creature that has all these different things? So the truth is, you know, we don't even know sometimes which part of the body can have a bigger impact on the other. Sometimes you think that the head is what's important, but through a tiny cut, God forbid, in somebody's leg, they can develop an infection that changes everything. And depending on circumstances, every part of the body has its time to shine. When there's a fire and you need to get out, you could be the most brilliant person, you could be the most handsome person, you could have the greatest heart, you can have a fantastic digestive system. If your feet don't work and you can't run fast, you're finished. So in that moment, that's what you needed. And at another time, when you're in a very complex situation and what you need is to be able to control your heart and to think carefully, that's when the mental capacity to be able to pull it all together, that's most important. And in a time when you need to show empathy, but you're cold and indifferent, and because of that, whatever you're trying to do is a failure, what you needed was feelings, and you didn't have them. You needed a heart, and you didn't have a heart when it was most necessary, and it could have disastrous consequences. So in some way, every single organ is the king when you need it. Now, who knows at what time and what point you might need who and when, right? Like say every dog has his day, so to speak. That's the way it's put in secular culture. The way the Mishnah puts it, Alti Hivaz L'chol Adam. Don't dismiss anybody. Don't scorn anybody. You never know when that person could have literally a world of difference in their hands. So when the Alter Rebbe says, Mi Yadeg D'Lasam Alasam B'Shorshin Alekim Chayim, he's talking about, okay, these neshamas evolved. This neshama is Rashi B'nai Yisrael. It's a leader of the Jewish people. This neshama is a simple neshama. I think this means two things. Number one, we really don't know which neshama is high and low. We really don't know this. So it could be the person you think is extremely ordinary, and maybe he is really extremely ordinary. It could be that person has an exquisite and holy and amazing soul, which been through the period of gestation, this neshama came out in a more remarkable way. You don't know. And secondly, nobody knows whose time it's to shine, like which neshama is exquisite at which time. You can have a certain neshama that in this particular time or in this particular way, on a spiritual sense, that this neshama has what it takes. There's a story that's told that the Baal Shem Tov was told by Achia Shileini, this angel used to come and teach him, about his previous life. He said there was a simple Jew living in Tzfas, and Eliyahu HaNavi saw that it was a holiness and a light and an energy emanating that was like unparalleled in the generation. So Eliyahu HaNavi himself came to this person, and he said, I checked your file out, and apparently there's something you did on the day of your bar mitzvah. And it was just unbelievable. Something beyond, and I can't, the file sealed. I can't know what it is, but I'm really curious. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, if you tell me what you did on your bar mitzvah, I'll give you Gili Eliyahu. I'll reveal to you the secrets of the Torah. And the man said, what I did on the day of my bar mitzvah, I did for Hashem and Hashem alone. I never told anybody, and I'm not telling you either. Could you imagine? This was a simple Jew getting Gili Eliyahu, which I have no idea what that means. We can't imagine, and anybody would be swept off their feet. And this man was so committed that he was going to live a life of quiet anonymity and didn't want anybody to know what he did, that he refused to tell Eliyahu HaNavi what he did. And to Eliyahu HaNavi's chagrin, he never told him. So I once told a story to my children So my little Levi says, see, Tati? And in the end, he became the Baal Shem Tev, and he did know all the secrets of the Torah. It's a child, understands. So it sounds like a child gets the... He didn't even lose in the end. Here's the point. The Baal Shem Tev, the greatest neshama of that generation, who transformed the entire landscape of the Jewish world, and by extension, the whole world, because changes by Am Yisrael ultimately have a global impact. In the previous generation, he was a simple yid. He was an unknown person living in Tzfas. So what does that mean, the whole idea of Gilgul? This is a nuanced and a difficult and a complicated issue to begin with, what Gilgul means. And like, you know, I'm me, and I'm not the other guy, and I don't know who the other guy is. And if he had my soul in the past life, you know, tough nuggins, as they say. It's not making a difference, right? And like Tchias HaMeisim, everybody's going to be coming back. You know, it's a, hi, meet yourself. It's not exactly like that, right? So the fact that somebody shares a kindred soul or a similar soul, really, what does that mean? But here's the point. The Baal Shem Tov soul was certainly cut of exquisite material, and that exquisite material was the same material that was used for this soul of a simple person in the generation before, who we don't know that he had any exceptional talents. He wasn't necessarily brilliant. He wasn't necessarily broad-hearted or emotionally intuitive. We don't know anything about him. A person who did something extraordinary, who had and then he kept it quiet the rest of his life and never told anybody, which is maybe even more extraordinary than whatever he did. So who knows the value of a neshama? And when you start to think like this, you say, yes, I see these people, these big people, these small people, important people, unimportant people. And they say, like, do we really know who's important or unimportant? The Gemara tells a story of one of the sages who had a nocturnal heavenly experience. And in his dream, he went to the other world. I guess we'd call it today a near-death experience. And he saw amazing things. And when he came back, his father said to him, what did you see? He said, Olam Hafach Ra'isi. I saw an upside-down world. Olam Hafach? I said, what do you mean? He said, I saw Mandi Yorav Yozor, Mandi Yozor Yorav. The people in this world who are great, they're nobodies in the other world. It's like a black and white negative. And the people who are great, who are little nobodies in this world, they take up enormous importance in the other world. So we don't know really who's great and who's not great. So the moment you want to dismiss somebody, but you're focused now on the spirituality, you don't like his nose, you don't like his voice, you don't like his mannerism. So yeah, but you know, this might be like an exquisite soul, one of a generation. It might be the greatest privilege to be like kind of bonding with this soul, have a connection with this soul. You don't know. So maybe taka. So that gives you pause. And that enables you to get past the things which would inhibit your avos soul and say, so I should love this person. Not because of their virtue and values. It's, if I love them because of the virtue and value, it's not avos soul. Then again, I'm loving what's good for me. If I want to be friends with a famous person, it's not because I love that person. That person's famous. If the person's not famous anymore, then I don't want to be friends with them anymore. If this person is powerful, I want to be friends because they're powerful. They're not powerful anymore. Goodbye, Charlie. I have no interest in them. If now they become a liability, so why do I want to have a friendship? It doesn't add anything. And they say oftentimes when things go wrong, you'll find out who your real friends are. You know, when people are rich, the whole world is their friend. They lose all the money, nobody's their friend. Who was ever my real friend? Who really cared about you? And that's when you find out what real relationships are, when it's not what's in it for me. So if what did Alter Rebbe just do? He just bumped this up a notch. He said, okay, so fine. You know what? The guy is fantastic on a spiritual level. Oh, okay, I'm interested again. Sign me up. Why? I don't like his nose, but he's got something to offer in a different realm. So let me buy insurance for the world to come. That's not actually the point. The point is getting past the inhibitors. There are things that inhibit Avos Yisrael. How do we get past those inhibitors? And the answer is, we have to get past the inhibitor by having these things, meditating on and contemplating on these truisms. Not just Narishkeit. This is true. But it helps you get past those inhibitors. They tell a story that once there was a young Talmud, a young yeshiva student that came to the famous Mashpia at Reb Hendel Kugel. And he said to Reb Hendel that he has a problem with Avos Yisrael. He really doesn't get along with his friends and he doesn't like a lot of people. It's not a, you know, some people are likable and they like, and some people don't like to like people. So Reb Hendel said to him, look, he says, Esav Seinali Yankiv, he says, there's this idea that the Esavite hates Jacob. He said, but Yaakov loves Yaakov. So he said, everybody has a little Esav inside him. Everybody has a Yaakov inside him. You have to get rid of your little Esav. Get rid of your little negative, sort of like we do with the Pintala Yid. You'll forgive the expression, there's a Pintala Goy. There's a Pintala Yid, which is everything that's beautiful about being a Yid, and then there's a Pintel Goy, which is everything that's bad about the opposite world, which is an Esavite, an Amalekite, and you have it inside you. So he said, Hendel said to him, get rid of your own Goya Shabikirbacha, get rid of that little Esavite inside you, and then the love will come. So when you think about it, what did Hendel really tell him? He told him something which sounds like a contradiction, because a mitzvah is a choice I have to make. And here he said, let nature take over. So if it's let nature take over, it's not a mitzvah anymore. It's not a decision I made. But really it is. Because allowing your nature to shine forth is a decision. And it's not an easy decision. It requires tremendous effort. It's like saying everybody has innocence inside them. Everybody has goodness inside them. Yeah, but till you get to that goodness, till you get to that innocence, till you get to that kindness, is a very difficult and onerous and challenging thing. So this is what we're talking about. So Alter Rebbe gives us, here's advice number one. Number one, miyadeg do las namalason. I gave you something to chew on, something to think about. This guy's getting on your nerves, but who knows where his soul is, on what level. Now, number two, on some level, this is the idea of all the different limbs. But on some level, if you want to take it back further, when it was just at the period of gestation, when all the neshamas were together in the source of all the neshamas, kulam asimis, everybody was the same. So there is a sameness, there is an equality that we're actually able to reach. You live in a society, and in societal norms, there are things which influence how people live their lives, whether it's wealth or poverty, knowledge or foolishness, wisdom, or being dimwitted. There are different things. There are qualities that make society tick, and people have the contributions they're able to make. All true. But when a society is under the threat of annihilation, all of those things fall away. What becomes important is the fact that basic humanity, God forbid, when people are together in a situation and then it becomes a life-threatening thing, every life is valuable. And you stop thinking about the different, what was important before, like the metaphors I shared with you earlier. And that's the kula masimis. So when you finish contemplating, you can't ignore the differences. Ignore, Alter Rebbe says, sweeping under the carpet is never a good idea. If you ignore the differences, it doesn't work. So you have to be aware of the differences, but it gets even deeper. Besides the different, we can live with the differences and still find a way to love each other, despite the fact that I don't like somebody's nose. Why? Because the bodily, the superficial, I cast that aside. Take it deeper, kulum asimis. On a deeper level, we're all really all the same. It's really all, just like people say, it's all just human beings. A human being is a human being. A neshama is a neshama. And then, even deeper than that is, va'avechad kolanu. And ultimately, we really are one. We really come from a common source. So because we come from that common source, so the truth is that all yidn are metzias achas mamash. V'lachein, says the Alter Rebbe, therefore, nikru kol Yisrael achim mamash. That's why all the Jewish people are called siblings, literally. Why are they called siblings? Mitzad sheirish nafshem ha'avaya echad, just like siblings have the same parents. So what siblings mean, just like all neshamas come from the same Father in heaven, from the same Rebbeinu Shalom, same Eibishter, so therefore, we are really one. If we're one, so why don't I feel it? Why don't I know it? And why does somebody get on my nerves? And the answer is, shahagufim mechulakim. Because the body separate us, which takes us back to where we started. So it's because it's the body, right? Did I say it's the body stupid? It's the body that gets in the way. It's the bodies that are separating us. But if we can get past the bodily reality, so then in that case, we would be able to experience the true oneness. V'lachein, therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, ha'esam gufam ikar v'nafsham tfeila. People who make bodily reality overriding and primary, and the soul is secondary at best. Yefshali, it's ava achvavit, it's b'neim. They can never really love each other. Ella, rather, an ava tluya b'davar levada. Since it's only about the bodily reality, the question will always be, what are they doing for me now? And if I'm doing anything for me now, it doesn't complete me. It doesn't help me. It doesn't in some way contribute to me what I need this for. Then I offload it. And that's the fake friends that people have. Forget fake news. Fake friends is much worse. People, lots of fake friends. People who have friends because of their standing, because of their circumstances, because of what they can offer. And then when they can't offer those things, the friends are gone. That's not a very comforting feeling. So if it's always going to be about what you can offer, you're never going to have any real friends. What's a real friend going to be about? A real friend's not going to be about what you can offer, but at some point, people reach a level where they really become loyal and committed to each other. Well, how much more so when we're talking about something which is intrinsically one? And this, of course, is a nefesh. So when you really contemplate the three ideas, the three levels Alter Rebbe spoke about, the idea that nefesh miyadeg, b'losam alosam b'sharshan alikim chayim. Yes, you're looking for value. Who knows? You make a great value over here. Besides that, really, kulam asimis. All the neshamas are really one. And further, taking it back further, ultimately we're all one. So if you make your body primary, you'll never have the ava amitas b'neim. It will be impossible to fulfill the mitzvah of avas yisrael. And that's why the only way to really fulfill the mitzvah of avas yisrael is by following the strategy that the Alter Rebbe sets out for you here in Tanya. To be continued.